is Zombie Zero from the Red Pill Podcast, and I kind of teased during episode 2 of the podcast about maybe being able to do my own top 9 SNES RPG games of all time. And I compiled the list, crunched the numbers, and I've got it. And I'm going to share it with you. So, you already heard a couple of them that were on the list if you listened to episode 2. Hopefully you did. If not, I will go over all of them again, and I'll give you a little bit of reasons as to why I feel they belong in this list, whether they deserve certain distinction, and how fun they really were to play. Because a lot of gamers, if you weren't around playing games in the 90s, whenever all these games came out for the Super Nintendo, you really missed out on one of the best genres and a lot of the groundbreaking elements that get carried over to today's game. Is Breath of Fire. It doesn't really stand out so much compared to all the other ones that are on the list, except for the fact that within Breath of Fire, your lead character was actually able to shapeshift into a dragon, so you had control of a dragon and were able to utilize it, whereas in the majority of RPGs, oh gee, I'm fighting against the dragon. It's not, I am the dragon. So it definitely was unique in that aspect, but other than that, kind of cookie cutter. It did have a sequel, and the translation from Japanese was so fucking terrible. So if you do want to play a Breath of Fire game, I recommend the first one. Number 8, Ogre Battle, March of the Black Queen. Now, Ogre Battle was definitely belonging up there. It is different in a lot of ways. It was almost a tactical, real-time strategy RPG. You got to recruit a bunch of different classes and deploy classes that would be better served if, say, you needed more fighters or more magic users, depending on which battles you were going into. You could deploy those units. And it also had a very good alignment system. So whenever you did good, your actions throughout the game would dictate what ending you got, which I think there was like 13 different endings to the game, you know. One of the very few games that had so many distinct endings to the game, and is definitely a very, very fun game. Number 7, Secret of Evermore. Secret of Evermore was very fun. You played a modern-day kid and your dog got sent back in time whenever you were exploring this mansion on accident. There was a time machine there. You accidentally trigger it and get sent back in time to prehistoric ages. And by the time you realize it, you're using a dinosaur bone for a sword, and your dog looks like this big dire wolf. But as you eventually progress through the game, you see that there's many different areas within time that you warp to. One is almost like a French Renaissance, one is kind of a Mesopotamian era, and your dog actually morphs between each realm. So whenever you're in the French Revolution, your dog is this fucking frou-frou pink poodle, but still does a ton of damage. And eventually you get to the one world that is within the future, and your dog is a flying toaster that shoots laser beams. I mean, you can't write this shit. This was definitely a fun, fun game. Number 6, Illusion of Gaia. Almost in the same exact style of the look that Secret of Evermore and games like Secret of Mana had, Illusion of Gaia was... I'm actually a big fan of the Ancient Aliens show on History. So, yeah, Illusion of Gaia ended up pulling a lot of inspiration from real-world areas that extraterrestrials may have visited. Things like Angkor Wat, the Nazca Lines, the Egyptian pyramids, stuff like that. The Tower of Babel is mentioned. It was cool to have some kind of historical reference within a game. It just added to a lot of the playability and likability of the game. Number 5, Super Mario RPG. Yes, there actually was a Super Mario game that had the same exact Japanese RPG of time-based attacks, and you were utilizing the characters that you were so familiar with from the Super Mario universe. So whenever you were Mario, you would punch enemies, or you could do the stomp attack, which was his specialty attack. And it was also a timed thing that was cool. It wasn't just, I'll hit the attack button, and I'll watch my animation go. If I timed it right, he would just do a 1-2 combo, but if I timed my second attack right, he would hit in for a 1-2 and a cross. And it worked that way for everybody. If you did the stomp attack and you hit the attack button again, just as he was making contact from the jump, he would do more damage. And you were fighting, as I said, with the characters that you were so familiar with from Super Mario against the characters you're so familiar with from Super Mario. And eventually you could even actually recruit Bowser to be on your team. And I think probably the best thing of all about the game was that Peach was on your team, and she would slap the shit out of people, and you would just, her weapon upgrades were better gloves, and eventually her absolute best weapon was a frying pan, and she would just reach in and smack you twice real quick, you know, lightning fast, smack smack, and if you timed it out right, she would smack smack and then reach, cock it way back and just bludgeon the shit out of you with her fist. So fun times were had by all who played Super Mario RPG. If you didn't, I feel sorry for you. Number 4, Secret of Mana. Now, this was the one game that did kind of break the mold as far as a lot of RPGs are concerned. It created this ring menu system, which kind of still exists today in games like Mass Effect. Whenever you bring up the combat ring that you can access any of the people in your squad to utilize any attack at any point in time. And that was the way that it kind of broke down from Secret of Mana. You had different rings that would be your equipment, and you went down to the next ring, and this would be your magic attacks. You went down to your next ring, you could assign tactical ways that you wanted your people to either hang back, and you had a little imp girl that would be like your attack mage, and then you had this royal girl who was basically like a healer. So you'd like set them back in the background so they wouldn't get damaged or attacked as much. You were the main hero, so obviously you were doing most of the hand-to-hand combat, things like that. And it had a really great weapon leveling up system. The more you utilized it, the better you got with it, so the more damage that you were able to be doing with it. You didn't have to upgrade your weapons all the time by finding or buying new weapons. You leveled up your characters with how proficient they were with utilizing different styles of weapons, whether they were swords, axes, spears, and such. Number 3, Final Fantasy II. Now we're getting into the realm of the games that I've already talked about in the episode 2 of the main podcast, so these three are not going to be a surprise, but I will expand upon them a little bit more. So Final Fantasy II, originally in Japan it was Final Fantasy IV, but since it was the second Final Fantasy game that we got over here, as I said, it makes sense that it was Final Fantasy II. So the storyline was really good with effects of redemption, trying to redeem yourself from being a puppet for the king, and not seeing the way that the world truly was and things like that. It had a better, deeper storyline than a lot of these other RPGs that I had mentioned. But that's to be expected, basically, from a Final Fantasy game. They're always going to have some of the best stories around. Number 2 is Final Fantasy III. Once again, Final Fantasy III, in Japan, it was actually 6, which makes sense as to why Final Fantasy VII is so futuristic to an extent with the Magitech and the Magicites, the mashup of industry and industrial revolution along with a magical revolution is why I believe people think Final Fantasy VII was the best game. I totally disagree with that. I believe Final Fantasy III is the best Final Fantasy game because it had all of those elements. It still kept the sprites. The story was really great. You had so many really unique characters. Whenever you had to fight against Kefka at the end, you split your group into three. The Apocalypse, the Floating Continent, the World Afterwards. There's so much to love about Final Fantasy III. I still don't know why people actually say that Final Fantasy VII is the greatest. There's no contest in my mind. Final Fantasy III beats it 100 times out of 100. Number 1 is Chrono Trigger. That shouldn't be a surprise to anybody who's played it. Chrono Trigger took a lot of elements from a lot of games that really worked so well. Combination attacks depending on how your characters were, which people you had with you in your party at the time, obviously. It factored a lot of time travel within the storyline. So you went everywhere from prehistoric times to a floating city in the clouds with the mages. And as I said in the main episode, in describing Chrono Trigger, the apocalyptic end boss Lavos, you could actually fight him at many different times throughout the game. And depending on which time in the game that you fought him was how different he was in the attacks that he would do, how powerful he was, and things that you altered in the past all the way from prehistoric ages on would actually be reflected upon the later times in the games. So if you changed something in the far distant prehistoric past 400 years before the contemporary age, whenever you get a chance to go there, it's going to be quite different than the last time that you were in the 400 years before contemporary time. You know what I mean? So it actually had like a butterfly effect integrated within the game. And as well, it had many, many different endings depending on what time in the game you beat Lavos. So there you have it, my top 9 Super Nintendo Entertainment System RPG games. They really were some of the best games that ever came out on the system. I thought Squaresoft was going to rule the goddamn world. They put out so many games that were better than the core development team of Nintendo. So really, in my mind, the RPG was the way to go, all the way back from the Super Nintendo, and it continues on to this day. I believe RPGs to be the greatest genre, and maybe at some point in time I'll try and do a breakdown as to what the top 9 genre of video games there are, but I'll save that for a later date. Until then, I will tell you thank you for listening. Like us on facebook.com/redpillpodcast. You can search for us on iTunes. Just do a subscribe to a podcast through your iTunes and search Red Pill Podcast. And as I said, I'll try and keep getting content up as often as I can. Me and the Merovingian will probably be getting together for another full-length episode a bit later into December. So stay tuned, and I'll try and keep you entertained as always. So as always, let me be the philosopher and leave you with some words of wisdom. Most often, the things that are deemed impossible are things that were never even attempted. Thanks for listening, guys. Take care.